You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Going to get to Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by JP Roofing. Deshaun Elliott's reaction to the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers on Instagram. Elliott saying, leave his ass at the retirement home.
Oops.
Stephen A. Smith, who goes way back with Mike Tomlin, and Tomlin even brought Stephen A. Smith in one time to motivate the team, saying Deshaun Elliott needs to shut up because this could actually happen. So... Mike, you have said for weeks that the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers cannot be discounted or completely discarded as an idea. Do you still feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. I feel more strongly about it now that it's clear that Aaron Rodgers won't be staying with the Jets. When you look around at his options for 2025, I think he's going to want to go to a place where he's likely to have a final act of his career that will be better than the last two seasons with the Jets. And there are places he could go where there's no reason to believe he's suddenly going to be on a playoff contender like the Raiders. A lot of people say, oh, the Raiders. You're going to go to the team that is at the bottom of the AFC West, that has three playoff teams in the division, that needs a lot more than what Aaron Rodgers can bring to the table? I don't think so. The Steelers make the most sense because they're already a contender without him. He can still throw. The question is, can Mike Tomlin get him pointed in the right direction? And also, I believe there will be some, for any team that would want Aaron Rodgers, internal resistance from some front office coaching staff who are going to be saying, do we really want this? Is it really worth it? Tomlin would have to feel convinced that he can steer Aaron Rodgers gently away from the things that make the Aaron Rodgers experience undesirable for people in the organization.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is the kind of quarterback at this juncture who would go along with an offensive coordinator scheme, Mike? Or is Aaron Rodgers a guy that says, if you bring me in, we're running the offense I want to run?
I think that any good coach understands that you devise your scheme based upon the talents of the players you have. What Ben Johnson's doing in Chicago with Caleb Williams, he said it when he got the job. He's tearing the offense down to the studs and rebuilding it. That's what you need to do. You need to let the guy do things he does well and avoid the things he doesn't do well. Does that mean you give the keys to Aaron Rodgers to design the offense or bring in Nathaniel Hackett or whoever else he's comfortable with? No, but that's part of the human aspect of any communications you would have, meetings you would have. I don't think it's all that hard to read Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he keeps his true feelings suppressed so deep down that you can't tell what he really thinks about something. And ultimately, if he wants to keep playing, and there's only one quarterback needy team that you look at and say, contender with Aaron Rodgers, even more of a contender with Aaron Rodgers, then he better be ready to set some things aside and go along with the program. And the Steelers have a program that has won consistently without him for years. You add him to that and you do it the right way, he could be a guy that gives the team a hell of a boost. But he has to be willing at this point of his career and his life to have some self-awareness and understand that there are certain things that just aren't conducive to having a winning team.
I consulted with a now good friend of mine, Joe Rogan.
Maybe he could talk to Joe again and get his two cents on this idea. I see today, Mike, that some NFL insiders, I saw Daniel Jeremiah's name attached to this, who's more analyst than insider, but that there's people that really do think Matthew Stafford is done in LA. So how about that as an idea? And do you buy the fact that maybe Matthew Stafford is going to be someone that's on the move this offseason?
It was strange how quickly it was leaked to NFL media that Stafford will be back. And then how quickly that leak started to form cracks and crevices and questions. I think the Rams, at some level, have been looking for a graceful off-ramp toward an upgrade for a few years. When Rodgers went to the Jets 2 years ago, there was plenty of talk about how the Rams were maybe hoping the Rodgers thing would fall through and they would come calling for Matthew Stafford. Last year, they had a protracted contractual thing that went all the way up until the start of training camp with Matthew Stafford. He's due to make, I think, $27.5 million this year. He's outplaying that. How many more resources will the Rams devote to him? And I think the Rams get caught between the idea that we can contend at a fairly high level for one more year with Stafford, but that also delays our ability to contend at a high level post-Stafford. They've got a young team. How much longer is Stafford going to be there anyway? So I think that's the conundrum with the Rams, but there's enough of a murmuring out there to just make me wonder whether or not that report from a few weeks back that Stafford's definitely coming back is going to completely and totally disintegrate.
If he ends up being on the move and they look to deal him, they really do deal him, what do you think is going to be the required return to get him?
Well, trading him is one thing, just cutting him loose is another, but that may be what they're trying to do, create a market where somebody shows up and gives them something for a guy that otherwise let go. You know, they're trying to trade Cooper Kupp. I think they're going to have to cut Cooper Kupp at a $20 million salary for total salary, total compensation for 2025, or pay a decent amount of it. It becomes more complicated with Stafford because there are going to be teams out there that say, Stafford for one more year? A guy who can still throw it? A guy who can still win? A guy who's got a presence? We're at the Rams-Eagles playoff game. And Stafford's one of those guys where he just stands out among everyone else. Maybe it's because we've seen him in an NFL uniform since 2009, but I was kind of struck by how just different his aura is. And there's going to be teams out there that need a quarterback and that say, we'll take that for a year or two. That's better than what we have, and maybe we can make a difference. Now, I don't know that he's going to want to go to New York because the Giants are already being connected to Stafford. There are other teams that might ultimately be interested, but yeah, I don't know what it takes by way of draft pick compensation. I don't think it would be an overwhelming haul. It wouldn't be the 1 in a 3 that the Rams gave up back in 2021. They also threw a 1 onto the pile to get rid of Jared Goff. That 2 1s and a 3 is misleading. It was a 1 and a 3 for Stafford and a 1 to get out from under Goff's contract. I'd like to think maybe a second-round pick would do it, maybe less. I don't know. A lot of it depends, too, on where Stafford wants to play, because even if you don't have a no-trade clause in the contract, and I'm not sure that he does. I don't think he does. But at the end of the day, every franchise quarterback, or starting quarterback for that matter, has a de facto no-trade clause, because I don't want a guy who doesn't want to be here. I want a guy who's all in.
That's what happened with Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer got traded to Tampa Bay, and then he said, you know what, I'd rather retire and go grow mushrooms somewhere. I remember that, Mike.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay ended up taking signing bonus money from him that the Broncos had paid.
Wow. Three names. Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel. For the receiver-hungry Steelers, which one of those three do you think would be the most realistic for them?
Well, Devontae Adams is going to be a free agent. Free and clear. He's going to get cut by the Jets. He's got a phony 25 and 26 compensation package that was never intended to be honored. It just drove up the average value of the contract he signed with the Raiders. So he's going to be available. And I think of the three right now, he's got the most gas in the tank and the highest level of skill. With Deebo Samuel, with each passing year, that stellar 2021 season gets deeper and deeper into the rearview mirror. And you just wonder, what does he really have? He doesn't have a lot of separation at the line of scrimmage. The Steelers have had enough guys in recent years that don't have that burst off the line. Now, Pickens has it, but I would be concerned about giving up too much for Deebo Samuel at this point because I don't know that he can turn the clock back to 21. With Kupp, there are different opinions on where he fits in an offense. I know Chris Sims on PFT Live has said he sees him as a number three in an offense. I think Kupp's perspective would be he's at least number two, that the Rams made a strategic offensive pivot toward Puka Nacua. I think Kupp, if he can stay healthy, but that's an important part. Well, he's been injured. Well, that's part of it. You got to stay healthy to be as productive as you can be. If you're not on the field, you're not catching passes. So I think I would go Adams, Kupp, Samuel, and Adams is the one you definitely aren't going to have to trade for. Kupp, probably not. Samuel, the 49ers are going to want something before they give him up.
Is that a former Pitt kicker turned Viking Fred Cox Vikings hoodie you're wearing on our YouTube page?
Chuck Foreman.
Okay, he was
Chuck Foreman. Chuck Foreman.
He was on that Super Bowl IX team. Was Little
Eight
Mike Florio
and 11?
Was Little Mike Florio back then when the Vikings lost 16-6? Were you rooting for the Vikings and quasi Steelers country back then?
I prefer not to comment on that subject at this time. Okay. It's still too painful. 50 years later. Yeah. See, if you haven't figured out over the time we've known each other,
yep.
I don't like to do what people tell me to do. And when everyone in town was saying, you need to be a Steelers fan, my attitude was, no, I don't. I'll find my own team. And I liked purple. I liked Chuck Foreman. I liked Fran Tarkenton. And the next thing you know, I've been waiting 50 plus years for the thing the Steelers got for the first time at the expense of the Vikings. And, you know, I was thinking about Super Bowl IX this weekend because for a while it felt like we were going to have the first shutout ever in a Super Bowl. And it happened as a practical matter in Super Bowl IX. The Vikings didn't score a point offensively. They got their six from a blocked punt, or they would have been skunked by the Steelers that day in New Orleans.
And then Cox missed the extra point to bring it back full circle. Thank you, Mike.
Well done.
Yes, we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.